Hey, good afternoon. I apologize for the delay. I was in another shear and went a little bit over the scheduled time. I appreciate you holding on. So this week, at least in Chutz La'aretz, we are reading Parshas Emor. Actually, before we start, maybe I'll just relate to that a little bit. A lot of people have been wondering about why it is that we don't catch up. We had the opportunity again. Eretz Yisrael got a parsha ahead of us because Shmini Shel Pesach, they read Acharimos, and we were reading the leaning for the last day of Pesach. So theoretically, if they would have read Kedoshim last week, and we would have, as happens in non-leap years, we would have read Acharimos and Kedoshim together, then last week we both would have been reading Emor and been back on track. And similarly, over the next bunch of weeks, there are other opportunities in which parshas can be doubled up that we would have thought we could take advantage of. The reality is that we don't catch up until Matos Maaseh, which is in the middle of the summer. They believe that's the first Shabbos in August. It's a lot of months of people traveling back and forth and the different shilohs which come up and hearing parshas multiple times, and there you are, you mechuyev to hear it. Can you hear the same parsha two times? Do you not have to hear it at all? If you miss the parsha, do you have to make it up? And all the fascinating questions that come along with the territory. So the question is, why didn't we just do that? And I don't know with certainty what the answer is, but I've been thinking the following, and I think the question is really almost like a non-starter. And the assumption of the question is that there's a value in all Jews reading the same parsha on the same week, or at least the Jews of Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael should be on the same parsha on a particular week. But why is that true? Maybe there's no reason. Maybe there isn't such a value. We understand that there's a significance to it more because we travel back and forth with ease now. So now it becomes confusing when they're on one parsha or another parsha, or I get my parsha emails and it's for the wrong parsha and I have to click on from Israel and I just save up. At one place that sends me an email, this is now sending two each week. So last week I got Kedoshim and Emor, and this week I got Emor and Bahar. I assume that the Emor portion was the same. I didn't actually open up both of them, but it's a way around the problem. But I think that the reality is that we don't like to double up parshios except when necessary. So you could have said, okay, well, this is a necessity. So apparently it's not. So the necessities have to come from the calendar. So there are different reasons why different parshios have to fall out at specific periods of time in the year. So the next time that it comes up that we need to make sure that we're all going to be on the right parsha, and that there would have been a problem otherwise, is Shabbos Chazon. Shabbos Chazon always has to be Parshas Devarim, and Shabbos Nachamu is Parshas Voaz Chanan. So I would have. So until then, the necessity doesn't exist. If there's no necessity, we don't double up Parshios. And again, maybe as depressing as it sounds, because we like to view the Achdus and then everybody together. And I'm not sure if in the context of Kriyas HaTorah there ever was. Such a concept. So I don't know, something to think about, but I think that might be the answer, might be as simple as that, there has to be a calendaric reason why we're doubling it up, and the first time that we have such a reason is Matos Maaseh. There's an interesting halacha at the beginning of the parsha that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be metameh, is not allowed to become tameh to anybody, even to relatives. And it seems very strange. Why should it be? Why shouldn't he be allowed? Why should it be that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to become tameh even to a father, a parent, mother, child? Why should that be? So I saw an explanation. I think it was in the Mishkan Betzalel. I forgot who. I think quoted from the David Ziner. This is a fascinating idea. It says the role of the Kohen Gadol was to be on a level in which he can connect in a very unique and special way with each and every Jew. And the level to which the Kohen Gadol is supposed to strive is to one in which there's no difference between family and anybody else. And therefore, if the Kohen Gadol would become Tamei to his father and not to anybody else, that would show that his family has a different place in his heart than the rest of Klal Yisrael, and that would go against the task in front of him. The task in front of him is to show that the Jewish people are in fact one. Again, it's a very interesting idea. Again, the implications are broader, but again, in terms of the hashkafa behind it, it's that the Kohen Gadol is this uniting figure. Maybe that's why it was such a big deal all the years when the Kohen Gadol, the Kahuna Gadol was sold and not done properly during Bayis Sheni. So it really was a pagam, it really was a deficiency in Klal Yisrael, because again, Klal Yisrael is supposed to have this this specialness of having the Kohen Gadol as this person for whom that is standing above and beyond and is this uniting figure in Klal Yisrael. So that's why the Kohen Gadol can't become Tamei. Why is it that Tumah is connected to Mace? So I think the idea is, again, I've heard this from other people as well, is that when there's Tumah, it shows that there is a significance to life. Because when the life has been lost, so now the Tumah sets in. And why is that the case? It says that the purpose of creation is for the neshama, which is inside. So once the neshama has been lost, so the value of that guf, the value of just the physical body that remains, has really been lost. Because the kedusha, which was inside the person, isn't present anymore. And that's why Nida and Shechva Zera, other forms of Tum also seem to be related to the potential for life. And that when there's a potential for life, and now there's no longer that actuality, the cycle is over, the woman is bleeding, or the Zera is not fertilized, the sperm is not fertilized in egg. So that was, they had the potential for life. And now there isn't that anymore. Now it's over. So that's perhaps what the idea is behind Tumah. It's interesting. I don't have an answer to this. Maybe something to think about over Shabbos. The idea of a Baal Mum, the Torah tells us that that people who are Baal Mum, that have certain abnormalities, physical abnormalities, are puzzled to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohanim or Baal Mum are not allowed to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that? I might have thought, again, why in the sense of what's it coming to teach us? The Kodesh Baruch obviously can decide and tell us whatever it is, that's the way it is. And I'm comfortable with that. But usually it reflects something. And it's surprising because I would have thought that in the spiritual realm of the Beis HaMikdash, the only thing that's important is spirituality. And is the midos tovos, is the good qualities and the like. But the fact that they have a physical mum, I wouldn't have thought would influence the Kohen Gadol in any way. So it's something to think about. What does that reflect? What does that teach us? Somehow about the Milo, maybe there has to be a fusion between perfect midos and perfect body. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe something to think about over the course of Shabbos. Share it around the Shabbos table. And I don't know. You can email me, let me know if you have any thoughts about it. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.